Jesus, the God, invites us here to his triumphal feast.
Welcome to the Triumphal Feast Podcast, a ministry of Elder Bryce Lowrance, speaking to you from Brentwood Hills Primitive Baptist Church in Fort Worth, Texas.
I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I have a question for you this morning that I've already stated, and that is, are you all in for the Lord? If you'd like to turn in your Bibles, if you have them with you, to Romans chapter 12 in your personal Bible, it's the sixth book of the New Testament. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, and then the letter to the Romans. Romans chapter 12. Now I'm going to begin by letting you know this is going to sound like a New Year's sermon to you. And there's reason for that. Because for teachers and children and parents of children, the start of the school year is more like New Year's than January the 1st. There's a lot more that happens in the next 24 hours than happens around January 1st. And it takes, for me, a whole lot more commitment to get up tomorrow morning than it does on January the 1st. Because see, on January the 1st, I'm still on Christmas break. So this is going to feel like a New Year's sermon to you, and it should. Because to be all in for the Lord, we are going to need to truly commit ourselves. As you're turning there, I need a couple of, three volunteers. I think I'm going to pick some kids. I think I'll take Luke, and I think I'll take Tanner, and my last child is going to be Brother Cooter. Y'all come on up here for a second. Brother Cooter, come on up. All right, Luke, stand here on the end, then Tanner, and then our youngest child, Brother Cooter. All right, here in a second, I'm going to give y'all something to hold on to me for just a minute. Okay, let me make sure you understand what I'm about to say. You're going to hold on to this for me for just a minute, okay? Y'all are going to help me out with something. All right. What do you got in your hand there, Luke? Say it real loud where everybody can hear. $100 bill. You ever held one of those before? You have. When did you hold a $100 bill? Were you holding this one sitting on the table the other day? Yeah. You were staring at it a lot. Okay. How does that make you feel to hold that $100 bill? You want to spend it? Something's pretty special, isn't it? You can get a lot of stuff with that. No, Asa. Okay, he wants it too. Everybody wants the $100 bill. All right, Tanner, here you go. Hold that for me for just a few minutes. What did I give you? $20 bill. What do you think about that? You want to spend it. That's something that you can use, isn't it? Are you sad or happy when I hand you that $20 bill? You're happy. Now, if I handed you a $100 bill, would you feel better or would you feel worse than the $20? You'd feel better. So everybody wants the $100 bill. But $20, you feel okay, don't you? All right, Brother Cooter. Oh, man. Ah, here we go. I can give him that one. There you go, brother. What did I give you, brother? What did I give you? $1. It's in kind of some bad shape, isn't it? It's torn. Been through the wash. It's taped up. It was wadded up in my pocket. I just happened to have it left over and gave that to Brother Cooter. What if we give what's wadded up in our pocket, and I'm not talking about money now. I'm talking about our lives. What if we give the wadded up leftovers to the Lord? How do you think he feels? What did Cooter's face look like in comparison to this $100 bill? Okay? What do you think your Lord's face looks like when you give Him 100%? That's something He can use. That's something that gives Him a lot of joy. This is the most expensive candy you're ever going to get. There you go. There you go. Thank y'all. Thank y'all. Cooter Pocket's the one. All right. There you go, brother. All right. Thank you, brothers. Okay. My point is this. If someone were to hand you a gift like that and not take it away and trade it for a peppermint, how would it make you feel to get a $100 bill? Make you feel pretty good. How do you feel when you get a raise? How do you feel when you get a raise after 5 years and you know you deserve it? How does the Lord feel? He knows He deserves our praise. But when He gets it, how do you think it makes Him feel? See, I chose Brother Cooter because I know I'd get the most facial reaction out of him. But oh, so often, that's all we give the Lord. And remember, I'm not talking about money. I'm not going to talk about money once this morning. I just use that as an example because we know the value of money. How often do we do everything else, tear up our lives, wad them up, run them through the wash, and then we bring them to the Lord? And we wonder why we don't get much of a blessing out of it. So this morning, I want us to talk about being all in for the Lord. I want us to give God what is right, not what is left. In Romans chapter 12, I want to look at the first two verses. And I know I've preached on these before, but apparently I need to do it again because the Lord put it on my heart to do it again. Read this aloud with me. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Here's my sermonette on the second verse. Okay? To be transformed by the renewing of our minds, you must read the Bible, you must pray, you must attend church. Other than that, you're going to be conforming to the world as long as we're outside and not in the Word of God. It is very easy for our minds and our hearts to be taken away from our service to the Lord. I'm going to spend the rest of this morning, Lord willing, talking about this first verse. Now, an honest question when I ask you, are you all in for the Lord, is, well, why should I be all in for the Lord? Why should I devote my entire life? Why should my focus be all of the time on giving praise to God and worship to Him? Well, I'm glad you asked. Turn with me over, put your ribbon in your Bible there, or put your finger there, because we're going to come back to that verse multiple times this morning. Turn with me over to John chapter 1. The first reason why you should be 100% devoted to the Lord is that He is the King of creation. He is the King of everything. So often, Christians fight against the teachings of evolution and then do not live their lives like Jesus is the King of creation. They'll say it, and they'll say, I won that battle. I knocked that evolutionist down. We got it out of our school. But then there are 1,000 other things that come before that Creator in their lives. Let's look at what Jesus Christ has done for all mankind. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. John puts this plainly. In the beginning was the Word. He's talking about Jesus Christ. That's the reason it's capitalized in your King James Bible. In the beginning was the Word. The beginning that he's talking about is the beginning of creation. And if the Word was there at the beginning, that means He existed before then. He's saying that Jesus Christ is one with the Father. That He was there in the beginning, and that He was with God, and that He was God. The same was in the beginning with God. And then He says this, all things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. All right, let me ask you a question. If in the next few years, NASA or some entrepreneur with a spaceship discovers water on Mars, how did it get there? God put it there. Jesus Christ created it there. It didn't evolve over time. Jesus Christ created it there. You know the easy explanation of that? Is that the earth was without form and void. Okay, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. It was like muddy water. It's the best way I can describe it. Then when He separated the elements from the water, we got our continents. They may not have looked exactly like they do now. I don't have any idea what happened after the Tower of Babel. It may have shifted lands all over the place. Pretty good chance it did. Some of that water may not be on Earth anymore. The Lord may have separated it out to other planets. Okay? But let me put this to you this way. Water is not the source of life. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. Excuse me, I missed the verse that I needed. Verse 4. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Okay? Water is not the source of life. Who is the source of life? I heard one person. Water is not the source of life. Who is the source of all life? Jesus Christ. Right there. Everything's existence owes glory to God before anything. Before you even sit down and eat breakfast. We ought to glorify Jesus Christ because we have the breath of life in us. You know what? The sun does a better job than Christians do in glorifying God. Anybody ever seen a day where the sun didn't come up in the morning? Or set at night? Sun's doing its job. Anybody got any doubt right now at this very moment that the sun is warming the earth? The sun is doing its job. The sun's all in. We need to be like those creations that don't have a mind. Turn with me over to Colossians chapter 1. Bunch of little bitty letters there in together. After the book of Romans, you're going to find 1st and 2nd Corinthians. You're going to find Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, then Colossians. By the way, there's nothing wrong with putting tabs on the side of the pages to help you turn to them quicker. Okay, I got to that one quickly because I had a ribbon there because I knew I was going to go there in just a minute. Okay, over time, you'll get to where you can flip through and find things pretty quickly. But you know what? If you get over into what's called the minor prophets where the things are only one or two pages long, sometimes a tab might even help there because you could accidentally flip past. We need to make our Bibles more usable for us. Colossians chapter 1, verse 16. For by Him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and by Him what? All things consist. Is there anything that's not in that list? Who is the Him? Jesus Christ. Plain and simple. If you have a job where you're the boss of somebody else, who's responsible for that? You? If there's a power, it came from Jesus Christ ultimately. Trace it back. say, well, I got to be the boss because I was the best employee. Why were you the best employee? Because I worked harder than everybody else. Okay? How did you work harder than everybody else? Well, I got up early in the morning. Who woke you up? Who allowed you to breathe through the night when you weren't in charge of anything? Okay, we can trace it back to who's in charge all of the time. He deserves our praise because he's the king of creation and he holds everything together. Turn with me over to Revelation chapter 4. Y'all all know where that one is, right? It's the last book in your Bible. Revelation chapter 4. We just sang this verse. Revelation 4, 11. Why should I be all in? Because he's the king of creation. Thou art worthy. Now, let me back up just a second. In verse 10, it says, the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, there are not multiple levels in heaven. Okay? We are joint heirs with Christ. Everyone is blessed with the same thing, being in the presence of the King of creation and the Redeemer of the elect of God. And if you do have in your head the idea that, oh, I'm going to get a crown and it's going to have more stars than somebody else, you know the Lord rebuked his disciples for thinking that way. And even if you do get a crown, what are you going to do with it? You're going to throw it on the ground. Okay? What does it say? Cast their crowns. If something is precious to you, are you going to throw it down on the floor? That's what cast means. Okay? What these 24 elders were doing was saying, this means nothing to me. Because the true king, I'm in his presence right now. And so they throw down. Paul said he counts all things but dung. Okay? Do I need to define that word for you? He said all the things that he thought were of value, he counts them as something that you scoop up in the backyard. That I may win Christ. That I may understand who he is. And notice what they say. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For thou hast created all things. And then here's the key. And for thy pleasure, they are and were created. The Apostle Paul, in dealing with the subject of election, talks about the potter having power over the clay. And can the pot say, why did you make me this way? Okay, we don't need to question the king of creation. That doesn't mean we're always going to understand what's going on. But brethren, if you've had any amount of joy in your life, it was because it was of his good pleasure that he blessed you with that. Because everything was not created for you. It was created for him and for his pleasure. Who's the his? Jesus Christ. The first reason that every single human being should be all in for the Lord is they owe their existence to him. They owe their very breath of life to him. And we were created for his joy. You know, there's a time period in a child's life from about 9 months old till about 2 to 3 years old. And you've all experienced this with your children, grandchildren. Did you ever have to teach them the word mine? No, because it's all about them. They figure that word out. They get a hold of something. Okay? If there's something that's in their hand, whether it's theirs or not, it's mine. If there's something in your hand that they want, it's mine. If there's something that you don't have, but it's up on a shelf, it's mine. And that kind of foolishness, not driven out of a child, becomes what happened to America now. foolishness like that is bound in the heart of a child, where they are the focus. And that is what has not crept into Christianity. That's what rules modern day Christianity. It's the me generation. It's what do I get out of it? I come to worship to see what I can get from it. But what does the Bible say worship begins with? The pleasure of whom? Jesus Christ. But there's a wonderful blessing. And that is when he receives that joy and that honor and that praise and that pleasure, he showers it right back down to you. That's a glory. So the first reason why you should be all in is plain and simple. You owe your life to him because you're alive. But the Apostle Paul back here in Romans chapter 12 says something that you owe him even more. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. Okay? He's saying, I'm submitting to you that you owe him your every breath, your every step, your every thought, because he was merciful to you. He chose you before the world began. He sent his son to die for you. Jesus Christ was all in for you. By the mercies of God, he sent the Holy Spirit into your heart, whereby now you can cry, Abba. And what did we say the modern day definition of that was? Daddy. Daddy. God is not your judge. He's Daddy. How often does it irritate you when you're in Walmart and you see a child disrespect his mom or dad? Just want to go over there and pop him one. Well, how do you think the Lord feels, who redeemed you by his precious blood? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. We're adopted sons. The only begotten son of God is Jesus Christ. And he gave him for you when you were worthless, when you didn't care, when you were a servant of sin. He set you free from the power of sin. Romans chapter 6, it says that we were servants of sin and free from righteousness. Meaning we couldn't do anything right. He says plainly that we can now yield ourselves unto righteousness. He says that we're dead to sin. How can we live any longer therein? There was a time, unless you were born again at a very early age and don't recall, there was a time where sin had a grasp on you. And all you could do was serve yourself. But now, you've been set free from that bondage. And you're free to serve the Lord by serving others. Anybody ever read the account? Oh, I hope you have. In the book of Exodus, where the children of Israel are delivered from Egypt. And they get a little hungry. And they say, oh, if we could go back because we sat by the flesh pots. No, they did not. You're lying to yourself if you think a return to a sinful life is pleasurable to you. The generation before, when they were in the land of Goshen, the folks did well. The generation that was delivered was under the hard hand of Pharaoh, and they were poor, and they were hungry, they were thirsty, and they had nothing. But sometimes you say, well, it's too much for me to serve the Lord. It's a lot easier, and I enjoyed it a lot more. Really? Really? When you were destroying yourself? No. Let's not lie to ourselves. There may be a temporary happiness in sin. But when you come down off that high, that drug, you are worse off than when you started. You may be feeling right here. You take that drug and you feel up here. And then when you come down, you think you're going to come back down where you were. No. You get way down here. And your body sometimes can't recover. That's what sin does to us. It's like a drug. We've been saved from that power of sin. So we owe all to Him. We've been saved from the penalty of sin. Tried to preach that to you last week some. And various other times. I know I preached it a bunch the past month. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. You will not die, my Father's children, for your sins, because Jesus Christ did. He gave all for you. You owe all back to Him. And ultimately, now I want to turn over to this one. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. That's just a couple of pages back in your Bible. Maybe 10. No. Forward in your Bible. See, it happens to me too. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Skip on down to verse 52. Ultimately, brethren, you're going to be saved from the presence of sin. You've been set free from its power. You have been set free from the penalty. And there's a glorious day coming. Verse 52, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. It doesn't say uncorrupted. It says incorruptible, meaning it cannot be corrupted, meaning it cannot die again. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on what? Immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. We've been made free from those things. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. He doesn't say He's going to give us the victory. He says, which giveth us the victory. Brethren, we need to live like we're in the resurrection now. Have that kind of attitude. Therefore, let me put it the way Paul puts it. My beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Paul says, He's going to raise you immortal. Therefore, be steadfast. That's all in, isn't it? Unmovable. Oh, I think I'll serve the Lord today. That's all the devil needs to hear, is your insecurity in it. Be bold, be loud. Anybody like watching old war movies? I like watching old war movies. And I'm talking the ones before guns, when you would have army facing army, where they could see the enemy a couple of hundred yards away. What always happens before they start fighting? What do both armies start doing? They scream and they run. So I'm going to win this. The only way I'm going to win this is if I run and I scream and I scare the dog out of my enemy. You know what? Your enemy's already been defeated. Death has no hold on you. Sin has no hold on you. The devil only has the dominion in your life that you let him. Scream at him. Get mad at him. Drive him out of your life. Drive him out of your family's lives. Get all in for the Lord.
Victorious God, what can we pay for faith?
We hope hope this edition of Triumphal Feast has been a blessing to you. Be sure to subscribe to our podcast on iTunes or visit our home church website at bhpbc.org. On the next edition of Triumphal Feast, we will bring you part 2 of the message, All In for the Lord. Amen.